from the front line, from the tailgates, representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
We are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Yankees podcast, The Dugout, live looking versus the Texas Rangers, Bleed Blue Show, BleedBlueShow.com, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus at the Bleed Blue Show. Get the audio archives of the Bleed Blue Show on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher apps. Right now, the Yankees incessant versus the Rangers. Actually just got the lead back on top of the Rangers. So to get in the flow of this new series, coming off the series versus the Rockies and the Twins, get the thoughts of with the stakeholders here on this platform. If you're out there, please let me know. Say what up. How you doing, sir? I think that's a little disconnection right there. Don't know what's going on with that. Okay. Well, anyway, let me get back to the city. Chris,
now?
Are you there?
Yeah,
ah, there
I'm
you
here.
Go.
Can
there
you hear
you
me?
Go. Woo! Loud and clear.
A little concerned.
Loud
right
and clear.
Yeah. I had a family graduation weekend this weekend, and I just came back. I left New York City at 3:30, and I had to go through the Bronx to get back home, and let me tell you, the traffic for Yankee Stadium was unusually. Normally, it's bumper to bumper, but this time it was at a standstill. So people are at the stadium having a good time. I know they are, even though the weather doesn't look that promising. So, but I'm excited to be here back again, man. Sitting in a seat with you, Steve, and going over pinstripe news, bro. Let's see where it takes us. Nice live look.
All right. Before we get to that news, audio archives of last week's episode, the Fool's Gold episode, a little ALE's dialogue. Got the Red Sox fans with us, and then also the Yankees talking Yankees baseball. And also, if you're a New York Rangers hockey fan, discuss the rink, the podcast. Is also on BleedBlueShow.com discussing all-season talk for our New York Rangers, and we're going to get into some more Rangers talk on Tuesday. Be on the lookout for that. And, of course, the NBA with the Knicks, the news that came down the pipe with Derrick Rose coming to the Knicks in exchange for Robin Lopez, Jerian Grant, and Jose Calderon, and his $7.7 million. You know, you got to add that somewhere. Discuss this trade.
I'm surprised you didn't say that first to get it jettisoned.
Yeah, the Knickerbocker Fan Forum will resume on Wednesday, matter of fact. We're going to be discussing free agency on Wednesday, so be on the lookout if you want to talk Knicks basketball, NBA basketball, free agency. That's the episode to do it here on the Bleed Blue Show on Wednesday night, 9 o'clock. And then, of course, Thursday, the New York Football Giants Roundtable, last episode discussing – I don't know how we got through that episode discussing the linebackers without puking, but we discussed the linebackers. this week is my turn to pick it. I haven't really decided yet. Oh, actually, I did. I think we're going to go tight ends. We're going to discuss the tight ends on Thursday for the Giants. So why not? Okay.
Why not?
But Yankees baseball, sir. Yankees baseball. Chris, I'm disappointed, sir. And then, by the way, we have to hear Yankees talk from the stadium in a few. But anyway.
Right.
I wanted to say
they won the series.
That
Pineda looked
not
decent.
I'm nitpicking.
Pineda seemed to have looked pretty decent on Saturday. Looked like it was okay. It was a tight game. He's keeping that ERA down. I mean, he gave up two runs. You know, I'm laughing because I can almost see your face through the cell, man. You just not feeling it. But dude, they won the series. They won the series. You know, it is what it is. These were twins, man. and I know you're probably feeling this thing from yesterday.
That was bad. That was bad.
They didn't give my man no runs. So, but you know what? No, really, Eovaldi really.
He sucked. He sucked last
year. He's been falling apart. lately. This isn't just yesterday. This has been happening.
Correct.
Yeah, this has been happening a couple of outings now. He hasn't looked himself. Well, and I'm still trying to figure who that is. You know, I don't know if he's the ace or what. He doesn't. Last month he was in complete command. This month, wow. I don't know what he's thinking. But
so
there's
a question. We're not going to get nothing out of Eovaldi unless we give him run support. I mean, the logic is, of course, all pitchers want run support. But he's nothing. Are we going to come to that final conclusion with Nathan Eovaldi that he's not going to give us nothing unless we give him runs? We have to give him at least 5-6 runs for him to be effective, Chris?
Well, let me tell you, he gave up what did he give up? Let me see the box score. He gave up there were 7 runs that he gave that we lost by 6 runs, I'm sorry, that we lost by yesterday. Okay? And we're not the kind of team that's going to go out there and score 8 runs all the time. I think we are capable of that at full strength, but let's be realistic, if you're a Yankee fan. Look, Eovaldi, I don't know what's up with his control. He's given up 17 home runs, I'm reading. 17 home runs, okay? 10 of them in this month alone, when you would think an ace would start to pour it on and turn it on. So we can't really be look, we've been trying, and this is for all stakeholders, we've been thinking about the fact that, okay, we have to unilaterally, unofficially call him our ace. We have to look at him as the ace. And we said this as recently as middle of last month, because he was the one that was connecting with halfway decent control, getting his 7 run innings in, and we were toeing the line for him. We were giving him a lot of run support. But now, without that run support, he looks like an ordinary pitcher. He's got a lot of bad counts. He's in a lot of bad counts, Steve. He's 0-2 a lot. His stuff, certain pitches. His zone is missing, dude. His zone is missing.
Yeah, exactly. His zone is definitely missing.
And I don't know where it's from, man. I mean, you know, he gave up. Look, his splitter was used to be magic as recently as 4 weeks ago. And who was this, Kepler, that I saw on replay? Goodness, must have been Kepler. Either him or Dozier, one of those two guys, smacked it into
Dozier oblivion. Took him deep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know if that was a splitter. It looked like it was a curve. So I could be wrong a little bit.
But it was all about the location on those pitches. Chris's location
is
off.
And it wasn't there. You're right.
Good guy, good stuff.
There.
His location's been off, man.
Well, why is he magic in the first 3 or 4 innings and then he falls apart, which is a Yankee trait?
Well, it's almost like the story doesn't really end with not just him. It's other Yankees that get in these jams in that middle inning, fifth or sixth innings, where it falls apart.
Right.
I mean, I'm not all too upset or disappointed that he gave up runs. But, Chris, he gave up back-to-back-to-back home runs, man.
How can you really sit
through a Yankees game and – I mean, you got through the first couple of innings, no problem. You gave up the run in the third, no problem. It is what it is. He was doing okay. Mentally, he doesn't have it in the last, what, three, four starts? He doesn't have it.
I would say four starts.
Let's rank it like this. Let's start with the starting pitchers. Besides capability and stuff and the arsenal of pitches, let's talk about strictly 100%. Mentally, if we had to rank the starters, who's the best mental starter right now? Could we say, arguably say, is CeCe or Tanaka 1-2?
I don't think it's arguably. I think he is.
Okay. So how else would you want to rank them? Okay, so who's 1, who's 2, who's 3, who's 4, who's 5? Because that's what I have an issue with the starting staff is. We know they have ability, they have good stuff, above average stuff. But it's the mental stuff that can't get them through. Pitching, starting pitching. When they get in the jams, they just crumble.
Okay. I would say, you know what, but that's an interesting question anyway, Steve, because they're doing this collectively. You know? Eovaldi is now falling victim to the same trait that Nova had a year ago, that Pineda's gone through recently, that CC had a year ago. There's somebody. Oh, and Tanaka, who I'm still scratching my head. I'm not really sure what Tanaka is sometimes. Sometimes he's the most dominating pitcher in baseball for six innings against someone. Then we're optimistic for his next start. Then five games later, he'll come out and he'll look like total doo-doo. And it doesn't matter who the opponent is. This is a Yankee trait with every one of our pitchers. And I don't know why. I have no answer for that. They can't all have the same ailment. Nova, too, in case I didn't mention him.
Speaking of Nova, he just gave up another run. Right now, the Yankees and Rangers are tied 2-2. But anyway, go ahead. Continue, sir. This is a live-looking episode.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. We just don't – there's no – I don't want to simplistically say, Steve, there's no consistency. We know that. We already got that part. My question is, why do they have the same inconsistency? You know what I mean? They all have the same trait. You know, they're never healthy very long. They overpower you for two starts. Well, with the exception of Evaldi, no. Well, okay, I got to add CC to this mix too. CC's looked so far, where's the wood? Very surprisingly great to me.
How long that's going to keep up, though? How long is that going to keep up? I asked you guys. I think that a couple episodes ago, I asked you how long is this going to last? Is it contagious in that clubhouse, Chris? You think these guys are going to? They talk to each other. I'm pretty sure they're trying to cheer each other up. Do you think CC is going to get this plague of inconsistency mentally by these other starting pitchers? I mean, if we're saying CC Sabathia is probably the most mentally strong starting pitcher we have, and that's even before even Tanaka, is that really not a good thing, is it? It can't be.
Not only is it not a good thing, but I would really like to see what the daily schedule of Larry Rothschild is. I want to know what he does. I would like to know how he goes about his business of preparation.
He ain't gonna have a job after this season.
Counts. I want to know what he preaches. What kind of in terms of what kind of power? What kind of what's the word I'm trying to find? The little nuances of each one of our. We have five starting pitchers and a couple of spot starters, and we lost a couple down to the minors, Severino and the other guy. So I want to know what he's doing. And what, as a manager, there's something else here. For them to all have the very same trait, Steve, this very same trait. They all do the same things. Take another look, and I'm going blanket over the last three seasons. If you take a real close look, you will see that Evaldi, Nova, Pineda, CeCe, Severino and Tanaka, and I know I'm missing somebody, all have the same nuances. They all have potentially great stuff, but it's never consistent over a two-month span. They also have situations where their best three pitches all fail them at the same time and before they take off for about four starts and then regain their momentum again. Case in point, Evaldi will probably be back at this rate at the end of next month, probably the end of July, just in time for the pennant race. Okay, which means CC's due to fall off. Probably in two or three more starts. They keep doing the same thing. At one point, we thought Nova was going to be the savior. I'm looking over the last three seasons here when I say that blanketly. At one point, Tanaka was supposed to be the de facto starter. We had high hopes for Pineda. You know, we thought Severino was probably Rookie of the Year material as recently as maybe a year ago this time. About that period, you know, came in. He's 6'2", he's 215. He looks overpowering. He's a young boy. He has a lot of potential. Didn't happen. We thought Shreve at one point was going to be a guy that could do a lot of spot starting for us and look fantastic the entire time. Didn't work. We just can't – look, yes, you can depend on your overpowering bullpen, but they don't start.
Okay. Hold on real quick. Let me say this. Let's see. Gardner just got out. Well, first of all, shout outs to Nova for getting out of the inning for only giving a one run. So they, right now it's still 2-2. Let's see. We'll see what Beltran does with it. Try to get that run back. I'm actually surprised if all the pitchers, New York Yankees saw went to a game and see Nova pitch. That's really surprising to me, for that even to be in existence. I'll ask him that question, like, why? You know, I guess he secretly loves them. Shout out to New York Yankees talk. But I have more questions for you, sir. As a matter of fact, as well as this guy, bring on the infamous Knickerbocker, your source for the Street Farm New York Knicks. Right now, live looking versus the Texas Rangers. What's going on, sir? How's everything? I thought the last two series versus the Rockies and the Twins was a fail. What's your thoughts, though, sir?
Well, first of all, good evening. And what is happening with the Bleed Blue show when it comes to the dugout? I mean, last week we had a Red Sox fan here. This week we got Kenny D going to a Nevada Nova game. Well,
we're all equal opportunity platform, and you don't have to be a Yankees fan to be on the dugout.
I'm just saying. I know that. Sometimes we allow the Met fans. Sometimes we allow, you know. But a Red Sox fan? Really?
Anyway, I don't mind people who know they shit to come on. I'd rather have them
You're
than
right.
those who pretend and bandwagon.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? I forgot his name already, but it was a pleasure to have him, have a Red Sox point of view, and actually had some fun with him, and he had fun with us. That's the kind of fan talk that I miss, that I appreciate, and I love. And it seems like I can only get it in one of two places, at the barbershop and right here on the Bleed Blue Show. So, you know, I'm sorry, I can't forget his name, Steve. You're going to help me with that one, but shout out to him real quick. And let's know the Yankees for the last week. You know, I just read an article just a little while ago that Brian Cashman doesn't want to be considered a pretender. He wants to be considered a contender. And over the last few weeks, anytime I read anything that Cashman says, or I see or I watch him say it, I don't believe him.
There is nothing that this man can tell me.
That makes me want to go to Yankee Stadium, to go up to the Bronx, pay hard-earned money, and to go watch this team perform. It's because it's the tradition. You know, you go there for the atmosphere.
Well, not to cut you off, Ev. I know I wanted to continue your story, but since you brought it up like that, I mean, you make it harder for the fans to go. Now you got StubHub going to rate the fans for ticket prices, but that's another story. I don't know if you guys
heard
about that.
Yeah, they
but we'll get to that. Yeah, good. Go ahead.
But to rate the last two series, let's just put it like this: to lose 3 out of 4 to the Rockies, and then and then that clubbing that we got from the Twins to close up the series with Minnesota. Yeah, it was bad, and it looks like, I mean, we cannot be just this 500 team and be the Yankees. It's almost like you want to go over there and rip the NY right off their freaking uniforms. It's that.
Right.
It's kind of that bad. And for me, this is a time where I'm really focusing on baseball. I'm kind of excited because football's coming up soon, and you're paying attention to the NBA. You know, to a little bit to the free agency, not so much, but a little bit, because baseball is still supposed to keep your attention. But because the Yankees are having such a hard time playing a consistent game day in and day out, whether it's on the pitching side or on the hitting side, and occasionally it's a defense, but more or less it's mostly the pitching. You're kind of looking at it like as, well, why am I watching and why is Brian Cashman lying to me? Oh, I get it, because he wants to make sure that people still go to the ballpark and spend their money and go to tickets. Good luck with StubHub, ladies and gentlemen. If you really want to know, I know a guy, but I don't trust him either. But I digress. I don't know what to do with this team anymore. It's like my love and loyalty is being tested, and the Yankees have been worse, back in the 80s and, in Europe in the 90s.
Right.
But this time around, you're kind of looking at this team as like, all right, when is this team going to turn around? Because it kind of gives you a little glimpse that it could possibly turn it around. It could possibly, start to, make some headway in the division, and then they turn it and they just, I don't know, like, shit on you. And it's really disheartening. It's hard to remain a Yankee fan. Well, actually, no. It's hard to watch them. Your fandom will never really get challenged. It's just hard to sit there and watch them and stay up till 10, 11 o'clock at night when there's other things on or when there's a nice weather outside. You just almost don't even want to do it. You just rather go outside and, fire up the grill or something.
Well, right now, the Yankees got the lead back. Shout-outs to Castro. The big home run last week, Chris, walk-off fashion on the Rockies, and got the RBI single right now to get the lead back.
Yes, he did.
We got any follow-up to what Knickerbocker Ave just said? And matter of fact, he actually touched on some points as far as bigger than the game, as far as resale of tickets. How big is this thing with StubHub, man? Or are we making too much big of a deal of it, Chris?
No, you're not making too much big of it. It's the same thing I bitch about on a constant basis. This is more corporate overreach, if I could use that word. They call it a multi-year sponsorship deal, which means there's something that they're going to announce in a press release that they're not going to tell us. Okay? Also, this goes into operation July 7th, okay, which is 10 days away, and the first ticket will be available on July 15th and then go through the rest of the schedule. It's $100 million, man. Okay. What's really happening is Major League Baseball has their own advanced media deal. By the Yankees doing this, they have originally the Yankees and the Angels on an ownership level. They opted out of the deal with the advanced media. I think 4 years ago.
Double play by
Didi. Say again?
No, it's a double play by Didi. We're out of that inning. Damn it.
Oh, good.
But go ahead.
Good.
Sorry, sir.
No.
Good. That's a
that.
Bad thing.
I need to hear that.
Oh, okay. Holy shit.
But what they're doing is, the good thing they're telling you is all the tickets will be, mobily available on iOS and Android and all of that kind of stuff,
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is they are – and they're also telling you they got these new features that enhance the customer service experience and they, better user efficiency and all of these wonderful barcodes and all of this stuff doing and all of that. But what they're really, really doing is they're milking just a few more dollars out of you to cover up any kind of what's the word I wanted to say? Financial inefficiencies. That's what's going on. So, look, if you're a Yankee fan and you're diehard, you love the experience at the stadium, which is unlike any other stadium, as you know, and you enjoy your team and you appreciate the aura and legacy of this team, you're going to pay for it anyway. There's nothing like going to Yankee Stadium. It's just like going to 30 Rock or Madison Square Garden or the Museum of Natural History or the Empire State Building. You're going to go anyway. So are we making too much a big thing of this? Yes. But is it right? No, but that's okay because we're going to do what we do. So that's the question to that. That's the answer to that, Steve.
Well, by looking at going to the games and looking at the stands, it doesn't look like they're packing out the place like they were in their, the run they were making the last decade and a half.
Right, because of what.
So how is this going to get more fans into the seats?
Well. You could.
StubHub's known for taxing the fans. Known for.
Yeah. Yes, they are, and they're going to continue to do that. But see, also, if you don't want any kind of a complaint at all, then Mr. Cashman has to get out of his seat and look very hard at what kind of roster he has, what kind of pitching we're going to employ coming into the pennant race, what we have available in the minor leagues. What do we have for free agent money? What available free agents? Who can help us right now without destroying the chemistry? And also, more or less, they need to cater to us, the fan. He needs to be aware of that. And Knickerbocker is right. This guy is being – you remember the movie Animal House back in the day?
Yeah.
When they had this term double secret probation. You've been on double secret
yeah.
probation. That's what he's doing. He's telling us stuff that we're supposed to figure out, you know, basically just off what he gives as a press release and a comment. And he's holding stuff back from double secret probation that we're not supposed to know while we get taxed to live in hell. That's what's going on. That's exactly what's
going on. But you know that
so, yeah,
the fans, they don't, the technology is not on their side, though. You have fans who will say, well, hell,
right.
if you're going to do this to me with a worse or a bad product on the field, you know, aging bats, inconsistent starting pitching, and you're
yep.
going to tax me for tickets to go to the game, hell, I got the YES Network. Hell, I got Major League Baseball. I could stream these joints. I could watch it anywhere. So screw you, Cashman.
Exactly.
Screw you, Stubba. Why would you – like I don't see the angle of that. I mean, I know it seems like more revenue for the team, but the fans themselves trying to get to the ballpark. I mean, you're going to get results like this with this type of product. I mean, if you really want that.
It's like he's saying, I got a brand new 1966 Ford Malibu right off the lot. It's only got 13 miles on it. It's still in mint condition from back in the days. But you know what? You're going to have to fix the transmission. But I'm still going to charge you Blue Book price. Well,
yeah.
Wait a minute. You're not giving me the quality that I'm asking for. Then that means you got to come down a bit. Oh, no, because it's this particular vehicle. So this particular vehicle is worth this particular amount, and we're not gonna move our negotiation stance on this at all. But you know, it has a transmission problem and a bad one too. This is the third transmission we put in it already, so
yeah.
you're gonna have to fix it if you really want it because it's that vehicle. Well, see, that's what they're asking us to do. They're asking us to because this is the New York Yankees. 27 World Series titles, legendary players, retired numbers, the Garden, the enhancement of the Raptors, the Monument Thank Section,
you.
And all of this kind of
yeah.
stuff, and the lore, and the fantasy of Yankee Stadium, and the Steinbrenner connections, and all of this other kind of stuff, and Mickey Mantle, and Yogi Berra, and blah di da di da. They want you to have all of that. So what they're offering you doesn't look like that. You're not even playing A-Rod,
mm-hmm.
you know. And there's still people that want to see this guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have a starting pitching situation that anyone's comfortable with, you know. You got you don't have a consistent team, man. You got holes everywhere. We had 88 first basemen so far this season, man. It's just really a mess. And Knickerbocker is right, man. The guy's lying to us. We got to call it out just like we see it. He is lying to us. If he wants to make this go away, he has to be very aggressive he has to be the most aggressive, actually. These are the Yankees, after all. And if you're going to go into a deal like this, you better hook up your team. You got to make us want you. Make us come out there. I'm looking at little clips right now of this past weekend series, and I see a lot of empty seats there, dude. And I'm talking about in the box and loge areas. You know,
especially versus a division leader in the Rangers.
See, that's the problem.
One of the top teams in the league.
That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
This time, I mean, think about it. This time during the 2009, 2010, 2011 time frame, that run after winning the World Series, once the big Yankee Stadium opened, that place from this time with that weather, that sunshine, and those matchups, that place is about 80% to 90%, if not completely packed to the Raptors.
Right.
And that's because, I mean, think about it. When you think about baseball, you think about hot summer day, you think about sunshine, you think about a good pitching matchup.
Right.
That place was probably 30% full, maybe 40% full. It started to look like, you know, like the Yankees of the 80s where – Yankee Stadium was damn near a ghost town because, and Chris, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, during
yes,
the time, even when the team was somewhat competitive, they were still missing the playoffs. They couldn't even sniff the postseason.
Nope.
And all you heard about was what, you know, when was George getting out of suspension, or when, you know,
yes,
or
exactly,
or how many different, or how many different,
well, it was a little harder to get in the playoffs then, but point made, though. You're right, Av. It was harder. I mean, it was the seats were empty back then, about 25 years ago, whatever, before we went in and run for, in the mid-90s. But you're right. But it was really harder to win the – I mean, you had to win the division to get into the playoffs. There was no wild card.
Yeah, you're right.
Then.
Right.
But but your point is still made, though. I mean, you're right.
Yeah, your point
still,
is valid point. Very valid point. Very valid point.
I mean, if they didn't, if baseball didn't have that factor going with the wild card, I mean, it could be even more empty than what it is, you know. So
and
good point.
Right, and Steve,
yeah,
and Steve, and Knickerbocker, you know, to that historic reference that you just made, you know, when Steinbrenner was on suspension, Gene Stickmichael, who was the de facto de facto general manager. Nobody actually appointed him there. You know, Steinbrenner was always the general manager, quote unquote. If you know what I mean.
Yep.
And that was the time when Steinbrenner was on suspension. That's when Stickmichael said, you know what? Boss is not around. You know, Gabe Paul isn't here. Huh. I think I'm going to make a couple of deals. got Roberto Kelly in there. You know, started playing around with the farm system. And that's during that period when we signed Jeter. And, oh, man, I totally forgot my man's up. The first baseman that hit a lot of home runs for us just before Giambi got here. God, dog.
Martinez?
Say again?
Martinez?
Thank you. Goodness gracious. And a lot of other little things. You know, I remember Cecil Fielder coming for a little bit. I remember just these little things were happening. And Gene Michael said, you know, this is my time to get a little bit of – to win a few games. Let's get a little pitching in here. Let's get a little outfield help. You know, then he started getting weird guys. I had Andy Hawkins and guys like that. But at least they were able to, you know, to toe the line a little bit. That's what Cashman needs to do right now, only on a bigger scale. Okay?
Yeah.
He needs to get some bona fide agents. And this is the time. These aren't the other New York team that plays basketball. This is the New York Yankees. This is his moment to shore up this team while no one else in this, well, not that I know of, in this division is doing the same. And let's start winning, man. Let's get past 500. We have no business being a sub-500 team. No Yankee team is a sub-500 team.
Let me get to that point real quick. Hold on. Let's bring on Kenny. He's at the stadium watching the Rangers versus Yankees and cheering on the lovable Ivanova. Kenny, what's up? How's everything at the stadium, boss?
Hey, how's everybody doing? It's a good night to be here. Good atmosphere at the stadium.
All right. Tell us what you're seeing right now at the game right now as far as the Yankees, Desmond getting the home run off of Nova, but the Yankees coming back, getting a couple more runs, but the Rangers responding. What's your thoughts as far as right now, a little bit of back and forth right now, what you're seeing?
Yeah, Nova got off that shaky start in the first. Gave up a couple of hard hit balls. Gave only one run. Gave up another run in the third. And now he's got himself in trouble, but just got a big strikeout. Trinos. So we're going to see if he can escape this with no damage, actually. That would be huge.
Really? Okay.
The base is still loaded.
Base is still loaded since you choose at the plate right now.
God.
I don't know. Oh,
boy.
So, because this is the mental part we've been talking about. I mean, Nova's location
has exactly
been a little spotty with the bases loaded. Kenny, we kind of talked about an ad right before you got on. I just asked a question, and maybe I could throw this question at Av and then go to Kenny and then go to Chris.
Okay.
Just the starters, Knickerbocker, Av, just the starters on the mental capacity. Is it fair to say that CC Sabathia is probably the highest ranked starting pitcher mentally out of the guys? And the Tanaka, then CC, what order would you put them in?
I would put CC at number one, and then a bunch of guys tied for third and fourth. Because really, you probably give Eovaldi number two, but Eovaldi is having such a hard time the last three outings. It's But I mean, you could almost forgive him for that because he was so effective early on in the season. So we'll go with that. Okay, so I'll give him number two. Three will be Tanaka because Tanaka does give up a home run almost per game. And it seemed to happen, you know, in missed opportune times. And then after that, I mean, it's a toss up between Nova and whoever the number five starter is, because since it kind of flip flops every other day, and it just sucks. If you're a Yankee fan, you're looking at CeCe, even though that's what you paid him for, that's what we brought him here for, and back in 2009, was to be the horse, to be the ace. And now, at his age, at his point of his career, he's almost, you know, winding down, and he's the ace again. We're looking at him as a number five or a number four starter, and now he's back to being the number one at his age. That's just how sad that is.
That's an
indictment
of Cashman right
here. Yeah. Kenny, can you hear us out there? I saw the big strike. What's your thoughts right now as far as the big strike going, trying to get out of the journey?
Nah, he didn't get out of there. That was a sin-choo-choo single up the gut, scoring two.
Oh, I got the delay. I just saw the strikeout before that. Oh, shoot. I didn't get that part. Oh, okay. What happened?
We lost the lead right there. Just left the fastball up in the zone, it looks like. Sitting far away, but it looked like it was right down the pipe. Drilled it back up the gut for a 2-RBI.
It was by two?
Yeah, sin-choo-choo, yep.
I just saw it. Damn.
Yep.
I just see
what
you're
doing. Here we go.
Again.
Noah's been struggling with runners on as of late. And this is no exception.
Can you fill us in with that, too, with the starters as far as mentally? How would you rank them? And how confident are you in the guys that you have lower rank? Let's say, like, maybe it's a Nova, or maybe it's Evaldi or somebody like that. Like, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel very comfortable with CeCe. I agree with Av on that one. Again, you know, Tanaka and Evaldi are about on the same level for me. Maybe I feel a little better about Tanaka just because I feel that he can, on a given night, probably go a little deeper into a game than Evaldi. Evaldi always struggles getting out of that fifth or sixth inning. And then Pineda and Nova are pretty equal in my mind. Both are capable of having good starts, but neither of them do it with any real regularity or consistency. CeCe, then Tanaka, Evaldi, then Pineda, and Nova would probably be my ranking.
Yeah. Chris, they have the similar responses as we
I
do.
I know.
Man. I mean, I don't think it was rocket science to begin with, but it kind of bothers me when the Yankees have a lead and we give up a run, we get a run back to get the lead, and now Nova gives up the lead. This is up and down, Chris. So,
he's only a
spot starter, really. So,
you and I were talking one time. I don't remember exactly when it was, but I do remember we were discussing the fact that Tanaka. I don't know if it was you or me. I don't know which one of us said it, Steve. But we pointed out the fact that Tanaka would on the Mets would be a spot starter. This is how bad this roster is depleted, okay, in terms of performance. And I said to myself, this is maybe a month ago, I don't know. And I just can't rank him. I agree with the fellas. I can't rank him as our number one guy. You know, it's all about straight. Look, we have no Max Scherzer here. There's no Verlander. There's no Dallas. What's his name? This is just really. We are what we are, man. There's no CeCe has no business being the quote unquote guy at this point. But thank God he is. Because he has been consistent, man. He's 3-2 his last 7 games. He's got 38 strikeouts in the 41 innings. That's very CeCe-ish. You know, he's towing the line because we cannot. Av put it correctly. He's our ace, and then we got a whole bunch of other guys behind him. That's exactly how
they're putting the pressure on him. They're putting on the pressure on Nova. I don't know if he's still true. Just you know, a little delay.
Oh,
got this, he stole the second. But I'm gonna say this. I say it like this with the Yankees. I didn't bring it up last week. I should have. But with the inability of the starting pitching and the bats. I mean, the bats in every major statistical category was no higher than 10th in the American League. I'm talking about the bats.
Yeah.
I'm talking about batting average, RBIs, and hits, and slugging. And it was no higher than 10th in every major category. You go to the starting pitching, it was just as bad, if not worse, as far as your ERA, your runs, hits, hits against. But the Yankees, what they do good is, you know, they don't really walk too many people. But that's not saying much when you're doing everything else bad with this team. And it's just about surviving, man, because it was really disappointing when I wanted to get back to with you guys as far as I said, you know, through those 11 games with the Rockies and the Twins, you could have got out of there no more than two losses. And that was real disappointing, especially not getting the sweep versus Minnesota. And it's like, and it's a race where if you could get back, you could have sliced his lead in half, kept yourself in decent distance for the division. But I don't know, man. I don't see this is going. I mean, in another month from now, we're talking trades. I really believe that. Kenny, anything else you want to add from the stadium, real quick?
What's that? Sorry.
Anything else you'd like to add from the stadium from what you're seeing right now in the inning?
Well, you know, I'm just hoping that
they're out of the inning.
Put something together. Yeah, they're out of the inning. I'm just hoping the offense can put something together again against Chichi here. They've shown they can hit him pretty hard. And I got to pounce in just a minute, but one thing I'd like to say is that I'm very impressed with Mark Teixeira right now. The way he's come back from his injury.
Yeah.
He's given a bunch of good at-bats. He got a nice line drive, base hit up the gut, start off the, his night tonight. Another good piece of hitting in the second at bat. So hopefully he can keep it going and, you know, start to really produce for this team, something we haven't seen that much coming this season.
All right, that's Kenny, man. New York Yankees talk from Yankee Stadium. Thank you very much, Kenny. We'll definitely talk to you next week, sir. Enjoy the game.
Thanks
hope
a lot,
you get
guys.
A win.
Thanks a lot.
Enjoy the game, sir. Take care.
And from Miss Knickerbocker, add anything else you'd like to add as far as what happened in the series versus the Rockies? I you know what? Let me go back to the game with Castro winning the game at the night. I thought that was one fun game to watch. Still, I mean, sometimes it's one of those games you want to say, you know what, screw whatever the stats, screw the what we're doing. Sometimes it's good to see old-school Sandlot baseball back and forth. Yankees go up 4-0, give up a lead, and lose a lead, and get tied a game and hit, and winning at the bottom of the ninth. But what were your thoughts on that game versus the Rockies last week? We didn't get the chance to talk on it.
Well, that game on Wednesday night was kind of similar to my softball game that I had yesterday. we lost 11-10. We lost, and it was pretty similar. We had a heavy lead, and the other team just kept on chipping away. They weren't hitting the ball very well in the first couple of innings, but then they started to see the ball. They started to, you know, do smart base running, play their defense, and they ended up winning it. In the bottom inning. Yeah, you're right. Those games every now and then are always fun to watch. Because it's exactly like going to Broadway where, you know, there's a beginning, there's a climax, there's a letdown, and then there's a happy ending at the end.
Yep.
And I was happy to see that, you know, Yankee fans got to go home watching, knowing that they watched a great game and they get to go home happy because the home team did win. And, you know, and they started inching closer towards 500. But then, but I mean, come on, the night before, losing 8-4, you know, there was some hitting, but the pitching was just horrible. Nova just couldn't get out of the fourth. And then, you know, then the bullpen just really didn't have anything for it. It's kind of sad that, you know, the bullpen is really just that big three-headed monster. And then aside from that, aside from Miller, Chapman, and Betances, there's nothing to that bullpen. They really can. You can look at them and say, "There's a stopper. There's a guy you know who can hold up the fort. There's a guy. I mean, yes. So Swarzak, you know, got an inning and got three strikeouts. The eighth did the same thing, but you know, those are – at that point, you're just stopping the bleeding and you're putting a Band-Aid on it. And by then, it was already too late. The bats never came back. And then, you know, just in Minnesota, that's just another – a whole other debacle. I mean, yeah, we won 5-3 on Friday. We won 2-1 on Saturday, but then getting smacked, literally smacked in the mouth on Sunday. To a bad team at that.
Yeah, that's the point.
You don't understand. If you don't follow baseball but like regularly, if you're just a casual fan, do yourself a favor. Go onto the website and look at their freaking record. They're like 25 games under 500, and they beat us 7-1. Now, given yes, we can't win them all, but we should sweep these guys. We should
you ain't lying.
The floor with them.
I totally agree.
Especially when you had one of your best pitchers, one of your most consistent pitchers, Nathan and Eovaldi, and you know he just could not. He could not hold on to stop the bleeding. The bats did not show up whatsoever. I mean, they only pulled out two hits the whole game. And that's just what we're talking about in terms of the inconsistency and the frustration of I'm looking at Cashman and saying, I think you're lying to me. I feel like I'm being duped. And the StubHub thing, it's just another way for you to take more money out of my wallet.
Yep.
I'm not happy with that.
Nope. The nerve.
Nope. He's right.
The gall. The unmitigated gall.
Well, I know. The unmitigated gall. Look. All right. What was it? You was talking about the Rockies game last week, Steve? I'm sorry.
Yeah. What was your thoughts as far as that comes?
See, well, I was very impressed with a couple of things. Let me tell you what I was impressed with. I loved the Beltran home run. That I saw that and I said, okay, this is really, really going to propel us somewhere. And sure enough, later on, as you know, Chapman came out and he shut him down at the top of the ninth. When Castro hit that walk-off, right, I said to myself, all right, Look how they're cheering. Look at the enthusiasm at the plate. You know, we was down by 4 runs in the seventh, and we turned it around, and we came out and did this. Okay, that's going to propel us. We're going to go on a tear now. I mean, after all, we got the Twins this weekend. There's no way we can fall from here. We're gonna stride from here. I'm just doing this, a lot of wishful thinking, man. But I'm going to tell you what concerned me in that very same game. When CeCe slipped, you know, now, that was, you know, he was already having a bad outing. Okay, they must have got him for about 6 runs. And he couldn't go 5 complete innings. But when he slipped, I don't know if you guys remember, he slipped, but he stayed in the game to just face one more batter. I said, here we go again. And then the Yanks turned that around. I thought that was going to be something that we could work with, but... Yeah, and then we did win the first 2 games against the Twins. But then when you start – the way they looked yesterday, you know, it was a reminder that nothing has really, really changed. And I'm hoping that they can hold it this tonight so that they can continue to do what they're doing. Because I still – in some ways, Steve and Knickerbocker have, I cannot believe this team is playing 500 ball. I can't.
Whoa, wait. Again, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Why? I mean, it's insanity, right? I mean,
it's
almost
totally
pretty much the same team as the last 2 seasons. So what would make this year any different?
Well, because we can't pitch worth a goddamn on a starter's wagon. We can't. We haven't.
Let's compare last year up until this point to now. So the pitching, starting pitching, definitely down, right? It looks the same. And what about you? What's your thoughts? Same, or look, is better, down? What's your thoughts up to this point?
It actually feels worse than last year, because at least last year, the pitching was somewhat, you know, appropriate.
Bearable.
It was mediocre at best. And you can basically just say it was all the injuries and the lack of bats. But this year, there really isn't that many. I mean, aside from Teixeira, and of course all the injuries to first base, where is there really a lot of injuries? And yeah, I know A-Rod missed a couple of games here and there, but there really is. I mean, Beltran's been healthy. McCann's been healthy.
All right, hold on, man. I'm gonna get back to you. Hold on. I agree with Chris. I think the starter pitch is definitely down at this point than what it was last year. Now, Chris, let me go back to you. What about the bats? I would definitely say it's definitely down. And now last year was even something to cheer about.
They are.
Because the Yankees was pretty much a slugging home run. It's either home run or bust for those guys. And now when the home run's not working, because they're like 11th or 12th in the league in home runs.
I'll co-sign on that. Yeah.
What about you?
It's better last year.
The bats are worse this year than they were last year, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Okay, now let's go to Chris, real quick. Then the bullpen. Is it better last year or is it better this year, or is it even? What's your thoughts?
I think it's better this year, but there isn't a definitive analysis on it yet because we haven't swung into the pennant race area. But I'm going to go with better this year.
What about you?
Probably better just on the count of the three-headed monster. That's about it.
Go ahead. Hurry up.
I mean, anybody before that is kind of shaky to me. And last year,
to me,
you had more.
To me, I think the pen last year was actually better. Betances was a lot better effective last year than what it is this year. I think Miller is still Miller. I mean, I think we have more potential with this bullpen, but it's hard to get to the bullpen if we can't get a lead. That's the only issue. That's the kind of the caveat to it. But Chris, you had a point, then we go back to Knickerbocker. Av, you want to finish your point, Chris, and then we go back to Av.
I don't remember my point. I was listening to Knickerbocker.
Oh, okay. So Av, I'm looking at the whole Major League Baseball. I mean, it's not just us. I'm looking at teams like Chicago who struggled, the Chicago Cubs, I mean, the Chicago White Sox who got off to a hot start and they cooled off. Teams like Cleveland and Kansas City picked up the pace. I saw the Washington Nationals struggle, the Mets struggle. I mean, are we overreacting because it's our team, the Yankees? Do you think we'll hit our stride because we see other teams who actually dominated baseball kind of take a couple steps back right now in June, heading into the fourth week? And what's your thoughts?
I don't think we're overreacting. And I think the main reason I can say that with all definitive and everything is that you look at one team in particular that's been dominant for this entire time and been more or less consistent and been a contender, and I look at the St. Louis Cardinals. They're still one of the main – I mean, you do not talk about the NL Central talking about them. You used to say that the same thing about the Yankees and the AL East. You used to say that about the Braves and the NL East. You can't say that about neither one of those teams, but you can still say that about the Cardinals. They are still the fourth in that division. Basically, if the Cubs want it, they have to get it through them. And until something changes, that's exactly what's going to happen. In order for them to get anywhere, they have to go through.
So you think St. Louis is going to catch the Cubs?
I think that the Cubs are going to run into the St. Louis Cardinals in the playoffs because if
anything, okay, that's different talk. That's a different kind of talk. Okay, so you're saying Cubs are going to win the division right now at this point.
At this point, I think they'll win the division, but the Cardinals are going to make it interesting by mid August. They'll make it interesting. They'll definitely be my pick to be one of the wild card teams. I don't think that anyone can really stop them, so they're gonna run right into the Chicago Cubs in the division series, and then that's going to be a dogfight. That's going to probably be the most interesting series out of the entire. If everything stays the way it is, that's going to be the series to watch. St. Louis, Chicago, division series, unless something else happens where they end up in the championship series. But as it stands, division series, that's the one to watch.
Chris, what about you, man? What's your thoughts as far as what about the Yankees? I mean, I asked Abbott if we're overreacting. Are we overreacting because it's the Yankees? Because I see all the other teams in Major League Baseball that's actually – played well, take, you know, take a couple steps back, a couple losing streaks with the top teams. But what's your thoughts? I mean, you think we're pretty much dead on with what we're seeing out of this squad headed into July?
Well, that's a multifaceted question for me, because I think, you know what, actually, you triggered my thinking here, Steve, when you asked me, is this the same club as last year in different facets? It's the very same club. And we managed to go to the very, just at the end of the regular season before we just couldn't make it. We kind of limped near the end right there. And we weren't out of it until we were out of it at the very end of the season last year. I don't know, despite our 500 record, if this team has the same intestinal fortitude. I know our bullpen does, but I really do not see, and probably our outfield, you know, certain parts there, but I don't see where we have that bite, drive, grit, determination, whatever you want to call it, to get angry unless we add a few pieces here. I don't see it. And what's really bothering me also, Knickerbocker Ave, is I cannot stand the Chicago Cubs. But I got to tell you, if you got to be honest with yourself and stop playing games and beat around the bush and put down your personal prejudices or whatever you do, you got to admit, they have that swagger that we want. They have that energy. They have that personality and determination as a unit to just take this thing to the end and smack everyone upside the head with it. They're really, really good. And I was hoping that that's what I would see out of this club. Some as recently as 2010, when I said, okay, they're going to – no, maybe not a little – couple. Let's come up a little bit. But about 2013, I said, oh, we won't stay down for long. We're going to keep it up. We're going to add some new pieces, and we're going to rev this thing up, and it hasn't happened. So that's what it is.
Okay. We have to wrap up. Av, real quick, give us about 30 seconds how we can find all your information, your final thoughts on the Yankees, and go to Chris.
As always, at Knickerbocker Av, where I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, where we're still talking about the upcoming free agency in the NBA. A lot of great talks we're going to have about that on Wednesday with a certain tarantula warning going out there. But, the Yankees. Cashman, you need to stop lying to me. Just stop bullshitting me, man. That's all I want. Stop lying to me and tell me that we're going to be sellers come July 31st. Because if not, I'm going to – I'm sorry. It's just don't lie to me anymore, damn it.
Chris, I can't even tell if he was talking about Cashman or Phil Jackson when he said that. Chris, your final thoughts.
Both of them. Both of them. He was talking about both of them. I know how he feels. I was at his high school today, man, and I was feeling really good. I got my Brooklyn swagger in, so I know exactly how he feels. So, look, we're not in trouble yet, but we're not doing anything, and it's getting really, really frustrating.
Let me throw a little bit of optimism into it, though. Let me just be a little bit optimistic. The Yankees, if they were to still keep their 500 pace, they're closer to more so a wild card spot than anything. I mean, they got to find a way to get past Toronto. They were a lot closer to Toronto now than they were a week or two ago. They're more further away from last place than they are third and second. I'll give them that. But to me, I mean, they should have capitalized on the Rockies and the Twins. Because this is a series where I think with the Rangers, I think they could split. I don't know if we're going to see, you know, three out of four.
Well, it's four games. We could do
I think it's going to be split 2-2, man. I don't see. We'll see how this goes.
Okay.
For Knickerbocker Ave and Chris, myself, Bleed Blue Show, BleedBlueShow.com, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Yankees baseball, the dugout. Other than that, Sangre Yasu, Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
bleep bloop, 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 bleep.